everyone, and how's it, Shay? Welcome to our very new format podcast, because nothing like a bit of change to get you up in the morning, and we're switching things up here on Freelance Life. So yeah, welcome, Shay. I'm quite excited to dive in and see how this all pans out.
Thanks, Megan. Likewise. And I mean, if we're talking about change, I think important to note that freelancing equals change. Whatever it is you do, just know that there's going to be a lot of change involved.
Yeah. If you like things as they were, or are one of those people that kind of say, this is how I've always done it, I think especially in today's day and age with AI and everything shaking up the landscape, you're not going to last very long, unfortunately, because, yeah, everything's changing.
So if that's you,
if you're not changing,
stop listening. Firstly, this podcast is no longer relevant for you. Second, get on those job boards and find something that's going to give you stability, because freelancing is not it.
Yeah, yeah. So very first topic we're going to chat about in this episode is embracing change. And I thought that this was a good kickoff, seeing as we've changed the format a little bit and we're going to do a lot shorter episodes, focus on one or two things instead of having me derail conversations and go down weird rabbit holes. So dealing with change. And I thought maybe a good place to start with that would be techniques for making informed decisions when you're faced with change or uncertainty. I'll let you go first, because I've got some very strong opinions about this. But how do you deal with change? What techniques do you use?
Mm. Well, firstly, I think I'm completely the wrong person to ask, because I love change. And that's, in fact, you know, that's why I'm a freelancer, and it's why I've been able to do this for 7 years. Whereas previously I could stay in a job for about 2.5 years and then I get so bored and I'd have to move on. So change I embrace wholeheartedly all the time. But that being said, you still need to be smart about what kind of changes you decide to implement. So change doesn't give me any kind of anxiety. It makes me excited, but then I'm also quite quick to jump into new things sometimes without giving them the proper due diligence. So for me, looking at things always through a financial lens, so taking on a new project, am I actually going to make money out of this project? Is it financially feasible for me? And then there's also the element of freelancer feel. So sometimes you just get a feeling, and I know, you know, it's referred to as gut feel or intuition or whatever it is. Freelancer feel, similar thing. You know, sometimes you're presented with this project that looks good and you can't quite poke all the holes in it, but the feel doesn't have the feels. That's also another thing that I like to listen to. So for me, it comes down to the finances and the feel. And you?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your strong opinions.
I was going to say I rely on data a lot, but data only take you that far. So there's always some kind of unknown entity. So you can have all the data, you can collect all the the financial implications of that decision, the kind of lifestyle implications of the decision, there's always something that crops out of left field that you haven't kind of made a plan or a contingency for. So it's kind of a split between this data collection and deciding where to go from that, and the gut field as well. I think that I don't know if maybe working with a lot of data you kind of develop like a subconscious gut feel.
I'm sure.
It's kind of that, like I say, that skew between data and gut feel. So are you talking about obviously when you're taking work on as a freelancer or other big projects? Because I tend to also kind of, let's just see what happens if we do this thing. And that was very much how this podcast got started. Was I was at your book launch and I was like, would you like to be a guest on my podcast? And then that was a different format again. And from there, it was kind of like, oh, well, I'm thinking of doing this freelancing thing. Are you interested? And you were like, yay. Whether or not that was a good decision, we're still waiting to find out. You've kept it very well hidden if you think it's a bad decision. So
speaking of, I think this is a good point to give an example of data. So the reason that we've changed to this shorter format is because y'alls have no attention span. And what Megan has seen on the back end is, firstly, no one listens to podcasts. Everyone watches, which I find bizarre because I'm such a podcast listener while I'm on the go and doing things. So there's that. And then secondly, was looking at the shorts that you were putting out that were performing a hell of a lot better than our 45-minute episodes. So do you want to expand on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone that consumes content, myself included, you know, we like something short and sweet, unless it's something really engrossing. So I will watch a video essay of something that's an analysis of something that I'm really into, like anime or an anime character or something like that. But I think from a human perspective, our attention spans are definitely shorter. I mean, we're living in the attention economy. So we want to try and compress. And while it's always fun to have really long, winding conversations, and other people have done that really successfully. I mean, if you look at the Tim Ferriss Show, the Huberman Lab, the Rich Roll podcast, I mean, those episodes can go on for like 3-4 hours sometimes. And there's a market for that. But clearly, freelancers are busy people, and we're under a lot of pressure. So,
just aren't that engrossing. You're being very generous.
Maybe, probably it's a bit of both. But yeah. I mean, the shorts performed that. Now, a short, for those who don't know, it's essentially like Instagram or a TikTok. It's like a 60-second or less video, and those get like close to, at the moment, 1,000 views, where the long format doesn't get that many. So, yeah, the decision was made based on those data points to see if we shorten this, what would happen. And I think what is important for change is that, firstly, most change can be reversed, or your decision to cope with that change can be reversed. And there's all kinds of techniques that we can go into to kind of prime you to make it easier for you to cope with the change, like fear setting and that kind of thing. But you're not going to know whether the decision was a good decision or a bad decision until you actually make it. So you need to have that kind of, let's experiment, let's try this out and see what works, what doesn't. You still have data points coming back at you relating to what has worked and what hasn't. So even if it is a bad decision once you've experimented, at least you know. I mean, as a previous manager used to say to me, always ask, because the answer is always no, but it might just be yes. You don't know until you ask. And in the same way, change, you don't know what the impact of that change or the decision that you're making is until you've actually made it.
And building on that, everything is changeable. So you might make a change and then change back to the way things were, and that's okay too. So, you know, I feel really strongly about not complaining about something that you can change. So obviously you're not always in a position where you can change a circumstance, but where you have more power than you think in more circumstances than you think. So there's no point chugging along with the same old if you can actually make a change and make your life better.
Yeah. A lot of people feel helpless, and I think that that's particularly kind of acute in the freelancer community, because we are like one man bands or one woman bands. What one person? I'm old school. I'm not sure on this new gender pronouns or whatever. We are these one man bands. You are very much at the mercy of the markets. But the markets are changing all the time. So you need to obviously be adapting to what the market is looking for. And in coming episodes, we'll maybe talk about kind of skills development and adapting new technologies and that sort of thing. But all of those things should form a sort of toolkit for you to help adapt with change. And once you are comfortable with, you know, using a specific AI tool or that sort of thing, that becomes another data point for you to base the decision on. You know, I want to move in this direction. Do I have the necessary skills to move in this direction, or is that a place where I have to upskill?
And I think another tactic for dealing with change is using your support system. So And I don't just mean your friends and family, because although they have your best interests at heart, they may not have the same kind of context. So specifically, I'm talking about fellow freelancers. So being able to have those communities that you can bounce ideas off, ask, how did this work for you, et cetera. Obviously, it's not a one size fits all. But for me, that's a really helpful way that I've found to deal with change. Just put it out there. Ask people what they think, and you'll get opinions you don't agree with. You'll get stuff that can be really helpful. So it's always worth a try.
Yeah. I think, you know, getting opinions that you don't agree with is always a good thing as well, because when you're trying to make a decision and it's going to be a large kind of impactful decision on your business or your life, you don't necessarily want everyone just kind of validating what you already think, because you, like I said earlier, you've got those unknown unknowns that could crop up, and somebody with different life experience or different business or whatever could come out of left field with something like, but have you thought about this? And you're like, geez, I never thought about that. So,
yes.
I mean, it's all, we like to have our opinions validated. And I do this thing called triangulating, where I'll ask three different people what their thoughts are. And when they all agree with what I'd already decided to do, that's great. but sometimes you actually get kind of these, holy crap, I did not think of it like that. And these moments from these people that you speak to that might think differently from you. So yeah, don't discount people that have got a completely different worldview. They are very, very helpful.
Definitely. One for the toolkit.
Yeah, yeah. So to kind of round off this episode, what decision have you made recently, and kind of in terms of change, obviously, and how has that impacted you or your business? Was it a good impact, bad impact? Was it something you had to try and backpedal from, or is it something that you're now embracing completely?
So probably the biggest change I've made in my freelancing career is deciding to hone in on writing. Anyone who's listened to our previous episodes will know that I'm niche resistant, but niching down in this way to a specific medium and skill has really helped me grow my business. It was nerve-wracking at first because I had a lot of clients that I was doing just general marketing management support, and had to get rid of those clients. I didn't do it all at once. I implemented the change gradually. So as and when circumstances allowed, I would let go of a client that I was doing, say, social media for, or whatever it may be, like full-on marketing strategy. I'd let those clients go bit by bit and fill those gaps with writing clients. So I did it over time. But now that I'm in a space where I pretty much only have writing, I let go of my last Google Ads client this month. So I've done it. And I feel really free and wonderful. So it's been a long burn, but it's been a brilliant change in my business. And you?
Yeah, yeah. Weirdly, it's the podcast. So my podcast, the initial version of it, started out as a 2-minute joke to see how this recording software worked. And was all very manual, and I taught myself how to remix music and all kinds of things on this really archaic software. I started interviewing people. It was a great networking tool in the early days of my business. It was very long, hour and a half long conversations with other small business owners. From there, I started recording this one with you, also a long format, and now we have shrunk it down to like 10-15 minute episodes. So
results TBC.
Exactly. Each time I've changed it, something good has come of it. So we sit with bated breath and fingers crossed.
And on that note, we better wrap up this episode before everyone
before
gets
people
sick of
stop
us
listening.
Exactly.
Well, so if you like the new format, please pop us a note. Pop us a note. Let us know what you enjoyed, where we can tighten up further. And we'd love to actually hear from you as well regarding decisions you've made in your freelancing business. Was it a good one? Was it a bad one? How did you backtrack if it was a bad one? And what are key tools that you use when you make decisions for your freelancing business? Pop that
and
in the
also,
comments.
Sorry, to chime in. If you are on the verge of making a decision and you need some help with it, we would love to chime in with our opinions as part of your freelancer community.
We can triangulate with you.
Indeed. And we can do it on a public forum of the podcast for even more fun.
Amazing. Yeah. Pop us your questions. We'd actually love to answer them and give you our misinformation and poor advice. Cool. And on that note, thanks, Shay. This was a lot of fun.
Ciao for now. It was almost quite challenging. I feel like maybe I spoke faster than normal, but
I think I did as well. Yeah. Cool. See
Thank
you in the
you.
Next one.